I want to share a little bit, you know, stirred on by what a brother said last week. Last week I prayed in my prayer, thanking the Lord that Satan's been defeated on the cross, and then this brother said, that's a really good truth. We should share on that. And so I looked up some scriptures on that and wanted to share this morning about our hope and encouragement that Satan. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let it by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. There, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandment and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. All right, let's pray before we get into the word. Father, open our eyes and ears and hearts to receive, Lord, with humility and meekness, that the word might be implanted. Lord, just speak to us, Lord God, and show us wonderful things in your word. And just help us to grow and be armed with the sword of the Spirit to just defeat any temptations and things that may come through the power of the enemy, and to believe that we can have victory through the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. So there's two things that Jesus did on the cross. So sin creates a debt. You know, I also see that there's wages. The wages of sin is death. There's wages for sin. Sin is serious. I've heard that before, and I've said it. Sometimes we think there's many serious things. You know, work can be serious, and sometimes we think what someone says towards us is very serious. But how is our reaction to what someone says towards us, or maybe a conflict with somebody? What is our reaction? Because what anyone says towards us, if we see the eternal perspective, it's not serious. But what is serious is sin. Do we get bitter? Do we get hostile? Are we able to forgive? These are the serious things that I would be able to have peace and rest in the midst of the storm. So when Jesus died on the cross, it says he canceled the certificate of debt. You see, in the old covenant, they had to do so many things. They had to have all, we're always under this heaviness if we're trying to be made perfect through the law. It's impossible. So Jesus came and he wiped that out through the blood of his cross. Now, the second thing that he did is, having disarmed the principalities and powers in verse 15, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Or you can see it this way in the New Living Translation. It says, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You see, the goal of Satan was to kill Jesus. First, he wanted to get him to sin. He tempted him, but Jesus, he also called on the name of his Father, and he had the word of God to victory over the powers of darkness. Now, it's very encouraging if we will believe the scripture that Satan was defeated and he was actually disarmed. He was actually disarmed at the cross. Satan tried to kill Christ, and when he was nailed to that cross, it actually worked against him, and actually Satan became disarmed. Now, when we have that truth in our life, how does that affect us? Are we living in such a way where we're living defeated by sin and defeated by Satan? Or are we living in a way that Satan is defeated and has no power over us? The only way Satan doesn't have power over us is through faith in Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, through being born again and filled with his Spirit. We have to be under that covering of Christ, under his headship and lordship. That's where when Satan for us. Because it's in Christ that there's the victory. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's where the victory is. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 2. All right, Hebrews 2 in verse 14, and we'll read right through to 18. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So in the NASB, it says, through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death. Do you know that before, it says that through death, so before Christ died, Satan had the power of death. He had the power of death. When Christ died, he was rendered powerless. He doesn't have that power. And he destroyed him. So now we know that Satan's not destroyed. He's still trying to tempt and deceive, and he's still very much alive and well. And in the end, there's going to be a time when he is going to be completely cast into that lake of fire once and for all. But he was, you can interpret this a little more clearly in that through death, he was rendered powerless through Christ's death. So the question is, does Satan have any power over you? Does he have any power or authority over you? If you're defeated by sin, then yes, he does. But we don't have to be defeated by sin. We do not have to be defeated by any temptation. Yeah, temptations will come. But we do not have to stumble and fall. He can cause us to stand to him who is able to keep you from falling or to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. He's able to keep us from stumbling because Satan's been rendered powerless. So when we live that way, when we believe that, he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What does that mean? Through fear of death, we're all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let's look at it in a natural sense. There's many people that have fear of dying, and they're in bondage through fear of death. I remember at 25, I was genuinely born again, and even though I grew up in a Christian home and I professed Christ, but I was a slave of sin and I had no life. And then at 25, it was like, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to sin against God. I don't want to sin against my wife. And by faith, I cut off my hand and gouged out my eye. And there was a salvation that took place. I had never experienced the life of Jesus before. And the victory that came. And it was really humbling myself and be willing to cut off my hand and gouge out my eye. In order to have victory and over sin. It takes faith to deal with things. Faith to, you know, get rid of things that are a stumbling block, right? That could be, you know, back then cause us to stumble and fall. But through the grace of God, the Lord helped that I was able to repent. And then I was able to receive of His Holy Spirit. And then many years later, see, that was in 2001, and probably, I'm trying to remember, maybe 2010, so maybe 8 or 9 years later, I was doing some skipping. You know, I was not like skipping like a stall-fed calf. I was actually skipping and skip roping. And my heart just went wacko. It just started going like a 200 beats a minute, and I could feel it up here, and it was like an anxiety almost that came, and it wouldn't stop. So I went to the hospital, and I was in atrial fibrillation, and so then they converted it back. I'm gonna die, but yet I just had a genuine change in my life years earlier, and I didn't understand. And just in pondering it, there's reasons, as when you see in the scripture here in Hebrews chapter 2, I didn't believe that really Satan had been defeated. Satan had been defeated at the cross. When we believe that, I wouldn't live in fear like that. There was a lack of faith. There's a few reasons why we can have fear of death like that. Number one, maybe we're living in a state where our sins aren't forgiven, or practicing sin. Number two, we don't believe that Satan's been defeated and God's in control. And we believe that when we know God's in control, there's such a rest and a peace, no matter what happens. Yeah, people can die young. That can happen. Do I have to live in fear that that could happen? It's the Lord's in control. And just the faith that we have that when that does, when the time comes, it's in the Lord's perfect timing. When I'm submitting to Him and I'm doing His will and I desire to do His will, it's going to be His perfect timing. And one day I'm going to stand before Him, and I can just, covered by the blood of Jesus, that He's taken away my sin, I can have confidence. And as it says in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 17 and 18, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. This was one line there, because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Are we living like Christ in this world? Or are we waiting to go to heaven to try and live like Christ? No, as he is, so are we in this world. Because Satan's been defeated, there is the grace and the power through his Holy Spirit to live as Christ lived. Not in our own, not because of anything we've done, but simply, as Lisa was sharing, in humility. In humility and receiving the power of his Spirit. And when we live like that, we're going to have confidence in the day of judgment. We're going to have confidence. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. See, there's two different types of fear. We're supposed to fear the Lord. A fear of the Lord, I've heard it explained this way. The right fear of the Lord is a fear that we may hurt God because of the way we live. A wrong fear of the Lord, which involves kind of torment and just anxiety, is a fear that he's going to hurt us. There's no fear in love. Do we understand the love of the Father? Do we know him as a Father, a heavenly Father who loves us? When we do, then let the storms and the rains and so on come. We can be in a small canoe, but as Jesus, we can be at rest with him, as Jesus was in through that storm, because we know him as a Father. We know that he cares for us. He has the best in mind, even if it means that we're going to go through something difficult. When I was in that state of fear, I'll just share a psalm that encouraged me, Psalm 34. Psalm 34 in verse 1 to 6. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved me. And the Lord heard me, and he delivered me from my fear. He delivered me so that I wasn't afraid of death. I knew there was a hope. I knew there was eternal life. I knew that the Lord was in control, no matter what. Another thing that just came to mind is, it says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard me and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, we read on Friday in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, I'll just turn there briefly. Second Timothy chapter 3. It says in verse, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And do you know what he went through in those cities? He was driven out of the cities. He went from one city to the next, and he ends up in, I believe it was Lystra. And at that point, he was stoned. He was the people from the Jews that were upset from him preaching there came and followed him, and they came and they brought a mob, and they stoned him. This is in the Acts. And he was left for dead. And then they left. They thought he was dead. And then the disciples and apostles and so on, they surrounded him. He got up. And then from there, he went back through the cities and went and preached the gospel again. It made me think that he could say, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. This is at the end of his life. Does that mean that he didn't get stoned? I mean, he got stoned and he would have experienced a lot of pain and suffering and many things. But yet he could say, the Lord, and anxiety of all the things he went through, he could have been anxious that the next thing was around the corner. But the Lord delivered him. And us too, if we want to desire to live godly, we will suffer persecution. We will suffer in more ways than one. It could be naturally, through people, through words, through physical things. But also, if we desire to live godly, there's going to be a suffering in that we have to endure in our flesh. In resisting the flesh and picking up our cross, there is a suffering involved. And it does mention that in Hebrews, where I just was in Hebrews chapter 2 at the end, where it says in verse 17, 18, that Christ had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. You see, there was a suffering that Jesus endured being tempted. See, resisting temptation, there's suffering there. And the encouraging thing is, even though Christ, it says he didn't help the angels, he doesn't give help to the angels, but he gives help to me and you. He gives help to us. There's help. You don't have to be defeated. There's help. Satan has been disarmed. He shamed them. He shamed those demonic forces and said, are we overcome or are we being overcomers? Are we being overcomers or are we being overcome? In Jesus' name, we will not be overcome. Through faith, we can be overcomers. Let's look at Luke. Luke in chapter 11. All right, it says in verse 21 and 22, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Okay, in the context, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about casting out demons. He's talking about dealing with Satan here. If you look in verse 14, he was casting out a demon and it was mute, so it was when the demon has gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. Some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan's divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. Okay. When a strong man is guarding his house, who's the strong man? Do you know that Satan's strong? If we're not born again, Satan's strong. Because we're completely a slave of sin. We cannot have victory. It's impossible. He's strong. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But what does it say after that? Resist him, being steadfast in the faith. Right? By faith, we become strong. So Satan's a strong man, fully armed. What does the next verse say? But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted. Who's this one stronger? Jesus Christ. He's stronger than the strong man. And he takes from him, he completely overcomes him, and he takes his armor away. He takes his weapons away. So there's no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon. So how do we, when we're in, does that mean where we can just sleep and just, as far as like, be complacent in our walk, oh, Satan's defeated, I can just lay around here and not take sin serious and not, you know, arm myself? No. No, it doesn't. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, 2. First John chapter 2, in verse 14. 1 John 2:14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Young people. How do young people in the faith, spiritually speaking, when you're a young man, how do you overcome? How do you get strong? The word of God abides in you. We need the word of God. How did Jesus fight temptation? It is written. It is written. It is also written. Satan would quote a word. He would quote a verse to try and trick Jesus, and how often does he misinterpret or cause us to misinterpret scripture to try and trick us? So we have to be sound in the word. That's how Satan was overcome in Jesus' life, was through the word of God. In the same way, that is how we will resist him, is through the word of God and through faith in his word. Okay, so the word of God was abiding in the young, strong man, and that is what we need. Now, it's very interesting in Ephesians chapter 6. I'll just, you don't necessarily need to turn there, but do you know, in Ephesians 6, in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? So we need his armor in order to stand. Because we don't need to fall. We do not have to fall. And now verse 12, this is a little aside here, but it all goes according to the same Same topic here. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm going through a test at work right now. And my test is that I will, things that I normally struggle with. And this is a test. And I was noticing them coming up. And I realized, this is sin. My wrestle is not against flesh and blood. This is a person that Christ wants to be saved, that Christ died for. They haven't received him, but Christ wants to save him. What we're wrestling against is not flesh and blood, not that person, but it's the principalities and the powers that are working through them. Can we get our eyes off of the person and onto the powers of darkness? Then we can start, our war can be effective, right? Because the devil wants to use that to bring bitterness and sow poison in our lives. And the only one that's going to be hurt is ourselves and anyone else that we sow that bitterness to. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's against the devil. And we know that he's been defeated and disarmed at the cross by one stronger, by Jesus Christ. What do we need now? All these we have for offense, right? It's the sword of the Spirit, right? What do you do with the sword? Right? We have an offensive weapon. And so we need the word of God against the devil. The word of God. Do we take that seriously? So, in all this, it's important to know we don't need to fear the devil. We don't need to fear. We don't need to fear death or Satan or the devil because he's been disarmed. We have weapons of our warfare that are mighty for pulling down strongholds. But we do need to make sure that our conscience is clear. We do need to make sure that we're living according to the word of God. All right, that we don't have unconfessed sin in our life and we don't have pride in our life, which is going to cause us to fall. You know, we can say, okay, we could live this way. Okay, Satan's been defeated and doesn't matter how I live. No, that's totally wrong. Because Satan's been defeated, we can live in victory. If we say it doesn't matter how I live, that's completely a false teaching. Well, they would do these exorcists and they were like, we're going to do it in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And you know what happened? The demon said, we know Paul, we know Jesus, we don't know you. And they jumped on him and they ran out naked and wounded on those men because they tried to just claim that basically, I'm going to kind of phrase it this way, they weren't under the headship of Christ. They were not in Christ. They were not protected by that. And Satan wasn't defeated in their life. But when we come to the Lord in humility and in believe in him, that strong man is completely disarmed. So that's all I wanted to share about that. We don't need to live in fear of Satan under those works, overcome by those works, defeated by those works. And even just naturally, you know, sometimes people can be in fear of evil and witchcraft and so on. No, when we're in Christ, we don't need to fear those things. We can see what Balak, he tried to curse the people of God, Israel. And so he got Balaam, basically hired him. Go and curse the people of God. So he went to go and then he blessed him. And then Balak was angry. He's like, I hired you to curse them. I got you to do this and you blessed them. And so then he goes again. He blessed, he actually prophesies about the Messiah, Balaam. He's actually a wicked man. But he could not curse them. And so when we're in Christ, there's no curse, no weapon or curse formed against us can prosper at all. But then Balaam said this, and you can discern this through in Numbers 31, actually, I won't turn there, but I'll just give you the reference. In Numbers 31, verse 16, he said, look, those women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation. So what happened is he couldn't curse them with his mouth, But he told Balaam, plague came because they started sinning and fornicating and intermixing with evil. When we're in Christ, abiding in him, as we shared a few weeks ago, there's safety. There is no weapon formed against us. But we should not go outside of that and start to practice sin, because in that place, in the grace of him to stand and not fall to temptation, and to know that Satan has been disarmed and defeated on the cross of Christ.